is a message I think everyone needs to hear. It's definitely one I need. It's not something that I have a great amount of knowledge on. It's just something that came to me when I was praying to God about what he wanted me to talk about this morning. There are many things we are called to do as Christians. As we live our daily lives, many fruits we are expected to grow, many virtues that we are expected to obtain, as day by day we walk in our faith and become more like God. Many of you may know this, but maybe some of you don't. I am a new parent, and my son Zachary has revealed to me that I am lacking many of these things that I need. And he's helping me to grow in these things, things such as patience, long-suffering, and humility. And the one thing that I know I certainly need more of as a parent, and I think we all need, is something called wisdom. I read a book about a year or two back. I can't even remember the name of the book. It's in my piles of books. But it was a book about wisdom and the need for wisdom. And it spoke of the need for wisdom and how we often treat wisdom as something to kind of get almost after the fact. Like, oh, we're in a hard situation. Let's get some wisdom now. And it talked about kind of how that was sort of a not the best way to go about it. We desire it after we've done something like lost a job, after we find ourselves in debt, after we have a child and realize we don't know how to be a parent. This is not the time to start looking for wisdom. Certainly wisdom is needed in these times, but wisdom is more proactive than it really is reactive. And so the best way to do it is to get it first before you need it. Today I wish to talk to you a little bit about biblical wisdom and help define what it is, why we need it, slash how it helps us, and maybe give you a couple examples of how we can seek it out. The term wisdom is used in a variety of ways in the Bible, actually, and can often refer also to something like the skill of an artisan, or the rendering of a smart decision, or having just some special insight. So not all wisdom in the Bible, when they talk about wisdom, is used for the same thing. It's not the same term, it's not the same thing. So we will be talking kind of more of a specific wisdom here. But we also need to understand the difference between wisdom and knowledge. Many of you may have heard this, but knowledge is often seen as the sum of things we know. Wisdom is the ability to take what we know and apply it to daily living. With that being said, we should not think that the wisdom spoken of the Bible is only about making astute decisions, about having special insight. In fact, the wisdom in the Bible is generally, especially in the Proverbs, talking about a person's conduct and his ability to be an ethical person, to be a moral person, as well as his ability to have some special insight into life. Proverbs 10:23 says this, "Doing wrong is like a joke to the fool, but wisdom is a pleasure to a man of understanding." James 3:13 says this, "If you are wise and understand God's way, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works, and with the humility that comes from the wisdom." A wise person is morally upright and has great understanding. So kind of a way to define the wisdom I am going to be talking about this morning is might be to say that it's the listening, understanding, and doing of God's word for the edification of self and the world. This definition may seem kind of out there right now, but it hopefully will make a little bit more sense after we talk about why we need wisdom, how that helps us, and how we can get it. So why do we need wisdom? What does it really do for us? This is actually really easy to answer, and I think in all likelihood, I don't think any of you think or deny that wisdom is something we should be getting. I think you all agree that it's beneficial, but maybe you're not quite sure of how it benefits us. So this morning, my main section of scripture I'm going to be talking about is in the Proverbs, no surprise, a wisdom book there. I'm going to be reading right now from Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 26. "Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, for the one who gains understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She offers you long life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left. She will guide you down delightful paths. All her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tightly. By wisdom, the Lord founded the earth. By understanding, he created the heavens. By his knowledge, the deep fountains of the earth burst forth, and the dew settles beneath the night sky. My child, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them, for they will refresh your soul. They are like jewels on a necklace. They keep you safe on your way, and your feet will not stumble. You can go to bed without fear, and you will lie down and sleep soundly. You need not be afraid of sudden disaster or the destruction that comes upon the wicked. For the Lord is your security, and he will keep your foot from being caught in a trap. This is the word of the Lord. Wisdom provides us with many things. Things such as understanding, security, and the ability to sleep soundly. I think something that Andrew and myself appreciate quite a bit. All the benefits of wisdom can really be summed up, I think, in happiness and prosperity in the Lord. Wisdom provides us with true happiness, a richness in life that can only be found by strengthening our faith and our understanding of God. Now, this does not mean that we're going to be happy, happy, happy all the time, or that retribution or prosperity theology is correct. That's theology that says that if we're doing good, God will bless us with riches and all this stuff, and that our life will be happy, or that if we're doing bad, God's going to punish us. No, rather, wisdom provides us with a deep love and understanding into the heart of God, helps tune our hearts to be like his own, and places our faith and trust in God to fulfill the promise, fulfill all that he has promised. Wisdom is transformative. It renews the person who acquires it, making them more like God. It is a supernatural gift that is provided to the one who seeks it, and it is not acquired by any person's merit, nor is it a skill or talent that some have and others do not. We need to understand that wisdom is not like intelligence. And some of the wisest people I have known were not people who held PhDs or masters or BAs. In fact, some of them didn't even finish high school. Job 12:12-13 says this: wisdom belongs to the aged and understanding to the old, but true wisdom and power are found in God. Counsel and understanding are his. So there is a wisdom we can acquire just by being on this earth and walking throughout our life, experiencing things and seeing the world. But the true wisdom that is provided and the biblical wisdom that God wants us to seek and the Bible talks about is not necessarily that wisdom. And it is provided by God and not through our experiences. So while even though I may ask some people, such as my father-in-law, my father, maybe Doug, for some advice and ask for their wise counsel, I understand that the true wisdom I seek shouldn't be coming from them. It should be coming from somebody else. Though I have received lots of good advice from Doug. Doug was my, he married me and my wife, and he did our marriage counseling, and I got some very good advice from him there. So I won't discredit that. So you want to be a wise guy, eh? Well, here are five ways in which I think we can go about acquiring wisdom. The first is to desire wisdom. You have to want it. You can't just expect it to come into your lap because you're like, oh, that'd be nice to have. Proverbs 2:1-4 says this: my child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Proverbs 4:7-9 says this: getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. If you prize wisdom, she will make you great. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will place a lovely wreath on your head, and she will present you with a beautiful crown. We have to want it like we want many other things in this world. I think all of us have desired certain things in our life, some which is, it's not bad to want. It's not bad to want money. It's not bad to want security. It's not bad to want a nice house, a nice family. But as much as we desire those things, we should be desiring wisdom more. The second way we can go about acquiring wisdom is to fear the Lord. Proverbs 9:10 says this, "Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment." And as well, Proverbs 1:7 says, "Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." Fear of the Lord is something that's kind of hard to understand, and I've talked to a lot of people about it, and it just doesn't sound right. Fear of the Lord doesn't mean we're necessarily scared of God. Doesn't mean we go around hiding from him going, he's going to get us. That's not what the fear of the Lord is. Fear of the Lord is a respect and a reverence for him. It's taking him seriously and maybe fearing to displease him. When we fear the Lord, we take seriously that he is Lord of this earth, that he is God, that he loves and cares for this world, that he is a just person, and that because he is love and he is just, he will punish those who do wrong, and that he will reward those that do good. We have to take this seriously, otherwise we won't take our walk seriously. We have to look to him and understand that he is the one who provides, that if we don't walk in faith and we don't trust in the Lord and we don't start taking him serious today, because we may not have tomorrow, we may not have tomorrow and we may not. As well, like I said, there's a fear of displeasing him, and by this I mean more like the fear we have for displeasing people we love. The fear I might have for displeasing my wife. My desire is not to wake up this morning and be like, how can I make my wife mad this morning? No, it's quite the opposite. It's how can I make my wife happy? What ways can I go about and make her proud of me? What ways can I make her smile and make her happy? This is the same sort of thing that we should be desiring for God as well. Do you think about that during the day? Do you wake up and go, how will I make my Lord smile this morning? How can I make him proud of what I'm doing? So we need to desire it. We also need to fear the Lord. And the third way we can go about getting wisdom is to read the Word. And by this, I mean mainly the Bible, but there are other books we can be reading as well, religious and theological books that should help us understand the Word, because reading the Word doesn't mean we just read it. I can read this all I want and still get nothing. If I'm not reading it to understand it, it's pretty much useless. So really, it should be reading and understanding the Word. We need to gain insight from it. Psalms 19:7-8 says this, "The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living." 2 Timothy 3:15-17 says this, "You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is inspired and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work." We need to read the Bible. We need to understand it. We need to be desiring to learn from it every day. I saw this morning that there was a little slide talking about, hey, would you guys like to start reading the Bible? I'm not quite sure what that was, but that's something that's great for all of us to be doing. I'd hate to admit it, but I have never read through this book entirely. I am working on it right now because over this past year, I've said, I really need to take time to read through it all. I've read lots, but there are certain books in here every time you get to it, you either go, or you just, I don't understand what it's saying, right? I really don't like Leviticus and a bunch of these other books that talk about ceremonial law and how they built the temple and what all this stuff, because it didn't really make sense to me, but I also didn't take the time to ask for it to make sense. I didn't take the time to understand it. And I'm going to be honest with you, they're not going to be fun books to go through necessarily, especially if you don't like that sort of stuff. But there's stuff to be learned from there, and I told myself I need to read through it, and I got through all those, and I'm in the Judges now, so I'm good. And so some books you might want to read out of here, especially if you're looking for wisdom, would be Job. Some of the Psalms are wisdom as well. Obviously, Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. As well, if you're looking for some wisdom literature in the New Testament, many people think of James as sort of a book of wisdom or a practical book to say, here's how to put faith into action. So those are all good books to read, though really any book in this Bible is good for you to read. So don't just think you have to read those to get wisdom. You can get a lot of wisdom from anything there. The fourth way I have for us to look for wisdom or to get wisdom is to simply ask God for it. That is to say, to some degree, pray. We need to say, God, I desire wisdom, and I want you to fill me with your wisdom. Many of you probably have heard of King Solomon, the wise, right? That's exactly what he did. In Kings 1 Kings 3, verses 5 and verse 9, so I'm skipping a lot because there's a lot of story here. Verse 3 says, that night the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, what do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you. Verse 9 says, this is Solomon's response, give me an understanding heart so I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? God was quite happy with Solomon's answer, and he basically told him, not only will I give you wisdom, I'll give you riches and all this other stuff, because you didn't ask for that, you asked for wisdom. As well, James, I think that's what I'm on next. Yes, James 1:5-8 says this, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. It may seem too simple, but asking God is a great way to get wisdom. But we have to really be asking him, we have to really be desiring it, and we have to be really believing that he alone is the one who can provide it for us. And the fifth way that I have for us to search for wisdom is to seek Christ. We've got quite a long section here. Matthew 12, verses 39 through 42 says this. But Jesus replied, only an evil and adulterous generation would demand a miraculous sign. I should probably preface this. A couple of the Pharisees came to Jesus and basically said, if you are this, give us a miraculous sign. So he said, only an evil and adulterous generation would demand a miraculous sign. But the only sign I will give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. The people of Nineveh will stand up against this generation on Judgment Day and condemn it, for they repented of their sins and at the preaching of Jonah. Now someone greater than Jonah is here, but you refuse to repent. The Queen of Sheba will also stand up against this generation and judgment on Judgment Day and condemn it. For she came from a distant land to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Now someone greater than Solomon is here, but you refuse to listen. These are all prophecies about Jesus. As well, another verse I'd like to read to you is 1 Corinthians 1, verses 4 through 25. But to those who are called by salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. The foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest. God's weakness is stronger than the greatest human strength. Christ is the wisdom of God. In trusting in Him, in trusting what He's done for us, and placing our faith in him and understanding that he came for us and died on that cross for us, and that everything he gives to us is a gracious gift, we receive a wisdom that is beyond this world. When we start placing our faith and our trust in things of this world and things other than Christ and his sacrifice, we're not getting biblical wisdom. We're having a human wisdom, which is just not sufficient and is just wrong. We all need wisdom, and it is something we should be looking for, not when things go wrong, but now. Acquiring it takes the time to seek it, to ask for it, and to understand that God is the source of it. When we take seriously who God is and we trust in his word and his plan, it changes how we see and think about things and opens us up to the divine wisdom. This wisdom changes us and presents itself in things such as our humility and the guarding of our tongue, and respect and love for others, and in actions as we do the word of do the work of the Lord. So I challenge you all not to despise wisdom and to seek out understanding, to not let time slip away and search for her now, because wisdom will guard you and bring you closer to God. I'd like to end this morning with just a benediction, a prayer found in the Bible. It is from Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 19. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with the inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down in God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ that is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Amen.